Hello and welcome to The Future Report, a podcast hosted by social research company McCrindle for anyone curious about the future. My name is Ashley Fell, and each week I'll be sitting down with a guest to discuss a topic or trend that you need to know about.
Rising education costs and growing concerns about the financial stability of future generations, it's grandparents who are emerging as crucial pillars of support. While their commitment to their grandchildren's education is unwavering, a recent study that we conducted for the Futurity Investment Group has unearthed some fascinating insights into the financial aspects of this support system. So joining me today to delve into these insights and how grandparents are shaping the future is research strategist at McCrindle, Jason Authors. Jace, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Ash. I appreciate being back on and talking about this great research that we've been able to conduct.
Yeah, it's really exciting to have you on. And it's actually not the first time you've been on the podcast, because the first iteration of this research was the topic of your last appearance on here, which was about the cost of education, I think, more broadly. And this most recent iteration of the study is focusing on the role grandparents are playing in that. But I wonder, Jace, if for some context, you could just provide a brief recap into that first study that we did around the cost of education for the Futurity Investment Group.
Yeah, definitely. So this was an extensive and robust study that we explored the impact of financial contributions that parents are making in sending their children to school, what the true costs are and how they might be aware or how they're navigating those costs. So for instance, one of the things that we found through that research was that, you know, 86% of parents believe that education is very important for thriving in life, but only half had been very intentional in preparing for the cost of education. And so it was also exploring some of those more sentimental, experiential aspects of what it is to send your children to school. But in terms of the actual cost of education, our research through that piece found that for 13 years of schooling in government schools, parents on average would incur a cost of about $84,000. For Catholic school parents, they're paying about $173,000 over the 13 years of schooling. And that's even higher for independent school parents at $288,000 across those 13 years of schooling. So really significant costs of education. And that includes the tuition fees as well as the ancillary costs as well.
Really big, important stage of life. And like we've encountered in this research that you mentioned there, some big costs associated with that investment over those 13 years for kids across those different sectors. So fascinating research. Thanks for giving that update. And I guess it gives us a little bit of a launch pad with which to kind of consider the role that grandparents are playing, and the whole purpose of this study was to investigate that. And I wondered, Jace, if you could just maybe give a little bit of context around how this particular angle on this research kind of came about.
Yeah, definitely. Futurity is one of our valued clients, and we've been privileged to work with them in a variety of different ways. And one of those ways is supporting their research efforts and building a research framework that sits alongside some of their advocacy aims, as well as, you know, guiding internal strategic decisions. And so part of that was the study, because they were finding that, you know, as they conduct their research and as they provide their services and products to their clients, many of those were parents, but then some of them were also grandparents and wondering how they might be able to support their grandchildren in their education aspirations. And you know, and so doing this research was a novel and a unique set of research that's not been done in Australia in this way, and really quantifying and understanding the experience as well as the contributions that grandparents are making, so that this could be a meaningful contribution to that conversation, because you know, the cost of education is something that affects almost every family and every household across Australia, and especially with the rising cost of living and economic challenges and, you know, a more and more diverse home life, we're finding that, you know, grandparents are also playing an integral role in shaping their grandchildren's education and that experience for them.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see the multi-generational approach to involvement of raising children, and definitely here, particularly with this study, the cost and helping out with the cost of that really important part of a child's life or anyone's life, with it, which is education. And I guess even like you mentioned there, that the context at the very moment that we're in with regards to anything relating to the cost of living is just such a hot topic because everything's going up. And I think it's also fascinating because we've done a little bit of commentary even around the declining fertility rate in Australia and why that is. And there's a whole range of reasons, but one of them is the cost of raising children. And again, what these studies have shown is a really big and rightly so important part of that raising a child and the costs is sending them to school and whatever school that might be. It's a sizable cost. So that whole context is quite interesting. And I think when we think about grandparents, I imagine for most of us, we're thinking baby boomers. And I was looking at this study and reviewing the report in light of this podcast episode, and it was cool to see even in the report that there was a bit of a profile of the current modern day grandparent that we were able to kind of, again, contextualize with who are grandparents. So I wondered, Jace, if you could just share a little bit about what kind of profile of grandparents did this study paint exactly?
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the beautiful things about Australia is that it's such a multicultural, pluralistic society with people from so many different walks of life and a diversity of home lives. And we see that play out in terms of the profile of the modern Australian grandparent. And so while the typical grandparent is certainly still true and a large proportion of grandparents in Australia being, you know, the baby boomer generation, the builder generation, there are, you know, a number that are younger grandparents. So for instance, in the study, we found that 26% were under the age of 58, whereas 73% were more in that traditional category of what people would think of when they think of a grandparent's age. But then also over half said that they were in a, you know, standard grandparent household, which is a couple family with no dependent children. But then there were a you know, a sizable proportion as well that said that they still had dependent children at home, and that was 10% of our research. And 7% also said that they lived in multi-generational households. So, and that's a number that we've been seeing grow over recent studies as well that we've conducted.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how diverse grandparents are. You've got, of course, a mix of some who are on the older side, and then, like you said, one in four who are 58 years or younger even than that, who might have either had children themselves earlier in life or their own children have chosen to have kids earlier in life. So definitely a diverse picture of this generation of grandparents. And Jace, what did the research find? What did you find interesting? What stood out to you in terms of how engaged this generation of grandparents are when it comes to their grandchildren's education?
Yeah, one of the questions that we asked them is, what is most important to you at this stage of life? And, you know, I think a lot of people would think of maybe the grey nomads, and they've retired, they've got this opportunity, they've got the funds to travel and enjoy their life. And rightly so, I think that's a great aspect of that stage of life for many people. But I think what was really encouraging was the number one thing that grandparents said was most important to them was spending time with their grandchildren at 79%. And that's followed by focusing on their own mental health and physical health at 77%. You know, and so that really just paints a picture that grandparents are really invested in their grandchildren's lives and their family life as well. And they're also invested in their own well-being, and that's a really positive thing to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing that the time with their grandchildren is even more important to them than like their own health. For many people, for more grandparents, their grandchildren are more important than their health, even though health is up there, like you said, and it's important at that life stage as well, of course, to be thinking about that. But a very selfless generation of grandparents, it seems, that are coming through, which is really cool. And I'd be keen as well, Jace, for you to share just about, you know, we see that grandparents are invested in their grandchildren, invested in their education. They're helping them out in different ways, from, I guess, offering homework support, buying school supplies, providing spaces for them to study, even beyond just like the hard costs. So they're pretty, a lot of this generation seem pretty involved in their grandchildren's lives. And even I would imagine because their children who are the parents of these kids probably are working or they need double family incomes. And so I imagine grandparents are helping maybe with some of those spaces, whether it's, oh, we'll pick them up from school and they can study at our place while you guys finish work, whatever it might be. They're kind of there to help if they're in a position to do that. But also keen, and I know that we explored in this research, the motivators behind why they are so involved. Could you share a little bit about that with our listeners, Jace?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're right in saying that the ways that grandparents are involved in their grandchildren's education is so diverse. And, you know, they're really meeting a need, whether it's, like you said, picking up the kids from school or contributing financially or offering just support around, you know, their homework or whatever it may be. But I wanted to read this quote from one of the questions that we asked. I think it's really sweet, but it also just sums up the sentiment that grandparents have when it comes to why are they involved in, you know, shaping this part of their grandchildren's life. You know, they've done that for their children. You know, they could just be enjoying their retirement or enjoying their time off or whatever it may be. But one grandparent said, "I love spending time with my grandchildren. We see them often. Being a grandma motivates me to teach them new things and give them new experiences." And I think, you know, that was really a really nice summary of the sentiment that grandparents had when it comes to why they want to be involved. But for 89%, which is a really high figure as well, that was also reinforced by saying that they want to share their skills and their knowledge with the next generation. And that's something that's really important to them. Some of the other things that they mentioned that were important motivators was the personal enjoyment they received just from supporting and being involved in the life of their grandchildren and their education. Helping them with their education also helps them feel more connected. They also want their grandchildren to be successful in life. And for many grandparents, they simply have the time. And so it's an opportunity to contribute in that way and make that meaningful effort to guide their grandchildren and support their children, the parents of those grandchildren, in their education.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be, I imagine, such a blessing to the grandchildren themselves to be able to spend more time with grandparents, to maybe, as we said before, give some extra time to the parents themselves, whether that's when they're at work or having a break, whatever it might be, and they've got the desire there and the time and that life stage. Maybe if they have moved into a bit more of a retirement life stage or a part-time working, whatever it might be. So really, grandparents, well done stepping up. To any grandparents listening, it's really great to see some of these, I guess, sentiments that we would hypothesize about, but actually seeing the real data and the stories and the quotes, like you mentioned, come out through the research is quite powerful. I guess the next question I have is really, like we've explored so far about who they are and why they would be contributing, but I imagine for a lot of people, it's also kind of how is this generation of grandparents contributing to their children's education? And we mentioned a couple of those different ways before, but I wondered, Jace, if you could just elaborate on exactly how this generation of grandparents is contributing when it comes to their grandchildren's education.
Well, aside from the overall and practical support that grandparents are giving, like we've mentioned, many are also providing financial support, and that figure comes to about a third at 29%. And so also it's not the majority, that's, you know, a sizable proportion of Australian grandparents that are rising to that occasion and meeting their children and their grandchildren in that area of need. And while only a third provide that financial support, over 3 in 4, so 76%, agree that they're heavily invested in their grandchildren's education. And so that really just paints a picture that, well, maybe they might not need to, or maybe the financial situation of their children is in a place where they don't need that or require that grandparent support. There's definitely a strong sense of investment into their grandchildren's education. What I think was really interesting on that point, that those that are financially contributing, 66% are contributing to more than one grandchild. So for that third, most of them are contributing to multiple grandchildren on that front.
Yeah, it's amazing to see them stepping up in that way and really, like you said, that for that third, and then like you mentioned, it's not the majority, but still a sizable proportion of grandparents who are not just giving support through time or you know, emotional support or encouragement, but they're giving hard-earned money from their working lives to help their put their grandkids through an education that I guess they believe in and that they want to see fruit from. So yeah, really amazing. Takes kind of gives a new whole new meaning to Grandparents Day at school for many of them being so involved. I'd be keen as well, Jace, for you to elaborate on something else that we explored in the research, which was the kind of concerns that I guess plague this generation of grandparents. Was there any insights that came out from the report about what grandparents have concern about with regards to their grandchildren?
Yeah, definitely. The main areas of concern were around the increasing cost of education, but also the long-term sustainability and the overall sense of effectiveness around the current education system. So there was definitely the sense of uncertainty about where the cost of education is going and how long and how sustainable they can continue to make those contributions. For instance, the average contribution for most grandparents that are providing that financial support is around $2,000, specifically $1,998. you know, but yeah, there's a sense that there is a concern about how sustainable that might be into the future.
Yeah, because of course we're talking about a generation who, not all of this generation, but a lot of this generation are quite, how do I say this? Like they've worked their whole lives and they're reaping the rewards. And we know from actually our other research that even though the baby boomers as a generation comprise less than a quarter of the population, they do own over half the nation's private wealth. So yes, they're a pretty cashed up generation. They've benefited from a few different economies and events and housing, the housing market in Australia and things like that. But that's not to say that they're not impacted themselves by the cost of living and they're a generation that's living longer, so they're going to have to kind of support that as well as maybe then having commitments to their grandchildren. I'm sure that would weigh on them because they would want to sustain that as well, like you mentioned there through the research. But with regards to this wealth that this generation does have, I was actually only speaking to a journalist recently about this where we were talking about the baby boomers and particularly – and how, yeah, that exact component that they do own so much of the nation's wealth. And you, the inverse of that is, you know, their millennial children who are the parents in this kind of scenario that we're talking about, the parents of the alphas or the young kids who are at school who are needing that support. The millennials have for a long time kind of been talked about with regards to locked out of the property market and I guess an economy that's kind of a bit more suited to the baby boomers as a generation. And so I was talking to this journalist recently about all of this and he was like, yeah, but there's a lot of wealth within their parents' generation in terms of the millennial parents who we're talking about here as this generation of grandparents. And there will come a time where that wealth hopefully is transferred. And I guess in some ways we're starting to see that even with regards to them helping out their grandkids with education, they could just put that in a trust and save it for when the time comes that it fully gets transferred, but they'll also be able to see the impacts of that now, which is cool. But that great wealth transfer of this amazing generation in the boomers is something we do talk about a lot. And it's a really interesting component of the intergenerational communities we have and wealth and accumulation and finances in this current economy. So I'd be keen with all of that as context, Jace, regarding the future and the research, if it uncovered any findings about this future wealth transfer from grandparents and plans they might have to pass that on to their children or even their grandchildren.
Yeah, and that was definitely an intent around this research was to understand there is this expected wealth transfer. The baby boomers have this proportion of wealth maybe tied up in assets or whatever it may be or inheritance. And what do they want to do with that? And is it going to the children and then to the grandchildren? Or in some cases, is it going straight to the grandchildren? And why do they want to transfer that wealth? What are some of the reasons or what are some of the ways that they want their children and their grandchildren to be spending that money when they receive it, whether it's present and whilst they're still alive and with their family, or if it's, you know, an inheritance that they receive when they pass on. So the most common motivator for transferring that wealth was setting them up for the future. And I think that's a really great sentiment that obviously makes sense, that they want to provide them the foundation that they need to thrive in life. For many of them, they also don't want them to lack financially. And if they have the means to do that, they want to provide the starting point for their grandchildren to enter adulthood perhaps and have the finances that they need. But they also, for many of them, just want to give back. I think, you know, there's this altruistic and values-driven sentiment that persists, that grandparents want to, yes, provide that sure footing and that good foundation. They really just want to bless their children and their grandchildren. I think what's also really interesting on that front is a third of the grandparents that we surveyed intend to transfer at least 50% of their wealth directly to their grandchildren, which is really, really significant. And so that paints a picture of, you know, a bit of a shared kind of inheritance between the children and then their grandchildren. But for 10%, they intended to leave 100% of their wealth inheritance to their grandchildren directly, which was also a really interesting thing to note.
Yeah, wow. Just skipping the kids altogether and going straight to the grandkids for that 10%. So, yeah. Wow, yeah. That's amazing. I mean, it's a really beautiful thing, I think, to see, and to see that this generation of grandparents, I think you mentioned it earlier, like they have every right, of course, and hopefully they are able to enjoy the fruits of their hard-earned working career and their life and those wise investments they made into houses or assets or businesses or working, whatever it might be. But I guess how that enjoyment plays out is different from holidays and travel and little luxuries to then seeing the benefit and helping generations after them to come in something so significant as their education, which can set them up for their own ability to earn a living and find purpose and contribute in the workforce and all of those great aspects of outcomes, let alone friendships or relationships or, you know, all those beautiful things that education can do for a person and for a community. So it's amazing. Big shout out again to all the grandparents who are listening, who are, yeah, able to not just keep that wealth in reserve for their grandkids, in some cases they would be, but also to be able to help them in the current moment with regards to education and helping the parents therefore as well and alleviate some of that burden too.
There was something else that we uncovered, and you mentioned earlier just about the housing situation that's present in society now, and especially for millennials, that's a key concern, obviously, that they feel like they're squeezed out of the property market. And how might Gen Z and Gen Alpha begin to approach that as they reach that point in their lives? And so, you know, when we think about the areas that grandparents are wanting their money and their inheritance to be used, it, you know, for most of them, it's number one, to purchase a house. And then the second, and importantly for the study, is for education and the expenses involved with that. But then also just by, and I think this is very telling, you know, around that cost of living issues that we're seeing so persistent, you know, that they just want their money to be used to support living expenses, which is a really interesting thing when you think about in receiving an inheritance. You don't generally tend to think, oh, I'm going to spend that on my grocery bill. But that's something that, you know, grandparents are concerned about for their children as well as their grandchildren. But then also the expected things like travel and great life experiences as well. So it really does paint a picture of grandparents recognizing the current climate and the current economic and social situation that their children and grandchildren are living in and will continue to live in even perhaps past their time. And like we said before, that they're wanting to provide that solid foundation for the rest of their lives, which is a really beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, it is. And it is fascinating, like you said at the end there, just around the different ways that the grandparents would hope their children and their grandchildren will use an inheritance. Because you're right, I've spoken to people before who've received inheritances in their 20s, and it's interesting because obviously in that life stage, the value often is on experiences and travel and. But then it's like if you receive an inheritance or a sum of money, it is a wise thing to invest that so that it yields a return over time. But again, that can be perceived in different contexts, like travel is an investment and memories and experiences. But then even here, of course, property, which has worked so well for these older generations of Australians particularly, they would have made a lot of money, I imagine, if they were able to get into the property market a few decades ago and have seen those assets appreciate. And so, yeah, the desire for their children and grandchildren to use that inheritance wisely, of course, is something you'd expect. But it's interesting to see the delineation of those areas and even education coming into that as well. So really fascinating insights. Any final thoughts or reflections, Jace, as someone who's worked on this report and these iterations of it, and you've been involved with Futurity to kind of conceive these ideas and this research and this study. Any final parting thoughts for our listeners today?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it at the start, and this is the first of its kind in terms of this research, specifically to quantify and measure the impact and the contributions that grandparents are making on this front. And I'm sure that there's other types of research that explore similar things, but really being able to understand the monetary figure, but also the sentiment that drives that contribution, and being able to communicate that, I think is a really important addition to this conversation around the cost of education. I think it's easy to make it about the numbers, and those numbers are significant when we consider that for, you know, various sectors, it's upwards of $280,000, like over 13 years of schooling. And so this is an issue that affects every family and every household across the nation, and we want to continue to see education be something that's attainable and a realistic aspiration for people across all different parts of our society, and especially as we see an increasingly diverse home life and various families, seeing the role that grandparents play. I think is a really encouraging thing to see, especially as, you know, like you mentioned before as well, life expectancy is increasing. So grandparents are living longer, and so they're wanting to continue to find ways to still be active in their family. And one of the great ways that they can do that is through supporting education. So it's been great to work on this project and exciting to see how this this conversation continues to grow and build. And, you know, there's already been a few media engagements around this, and you know, it's part of that public conversation, I think, which is an important part.
Yeah, really important, really great topic. And thanks to you, Jace, for working on that project with Futurity and for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks so much, Ash. Appreciate it.
And a big thanks as well to Futurity, who, as Jace mentioned, one of our really great clients among many others that we get to do work with and do work for and to help shed light on really important issues. So thanks to Futurity as well for investing in this research. If you would like to stay up to date with our latest insights and all our publicly available research like this one, you can always subscribe to the podcast. You can follow us on social media, or you can head to macrindle.com where you can delve much further into some of these insights. So as always, thank you for listening, and bye for now.